And welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired. We're talking about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Ah, we're doing this again. We're going the other direction.
Totally going the other direction. Podcast left. Well, actually, podcast left would be Lappy, the laptop. And then
Hello.
Alex.
Yeah.
I'm laptop. And then I'm a 1980s Macintosh.
And then we have Jordan.
Hey.
Hi, Jordan.
How's it going? Clockwise. That's never confusing. counterclockwise.
That's the way you should play games when you go.
The clockwise?
Board games, card games.
Yeah.
You should deal clockwise.
Yeah, I go clockwise. It's comforting. It seems natural.
Yeah.
Counterclockwise is weird.
Uh-huh. That's people that deal counterclockwise, just can't trust them.
That's why you can't trust mathematicians. It's trigonometry. It's counterclockwise. Yeah.
Yep.
So. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay. And we have Joe.
Hey, I had to go on a spiritual retreat. That's why I've been out.
It's Walter White's spiritual
exactly.
retreat.
So, but it's good to be back. I feel enlightened. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always good.
Exactly. Didn't do much, but...
Yeah. Isn't that what spiritual retreats usually are?
Yeah, that's true. That is the point.
You just kind of go...
So were you were retreating from spirits? Or...
The
greatest a little bit
kind.
Of both.
With spirits?
Yeah.
Wait. Maybe.
Kind of embracing them, letting a few go, letting a few come in, swapping them out.
Was it like the... was the Demi Moore movie?
Ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
Those kind of spirits. That
oh, with Whoopi?
Embrace you.
With Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah, that's right. You're just trying to mold your clay, and they just
oh.
keep embracing you. And
exactly.
Like, stop it. I'm doing art.
I'm trying to retreat.
So, Joe, would you say you were spirited away?
I was spirited away.
All right. Oh, and then there's me.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
I'm Bill. Yep.
Capital B.
All right. So we'll start talking about Google.
That's right.
It's been in the news quite a bit lately, and it's been doing. They are the big company that's doing lots of things.
Yeah, I've heard of them. I think.
Yeah.
I Yahooed them the other day. And
exactly.
Learned a lot about their organization.
I binged them the other day.
Hey.
Yeah.
Isn't it Dr. G's or Ask
Jeeves?
Yeah, you Ask Jeeves.
That's good. Dogpile's really good, too.
Yeah.
I think somebody posted about them on Reddit.
Yeah. Well, I'm still,
I think so.
Like,
about right.
AltaVista, isn't that the recommended search engine?
Yeah. That's the one, the really technical one, but I never remember how it's spelled, so.
I know.
Yeah, it's Alta High Vista, a Vista. Right.
Sounds complicated. All right. So we'll start with Google. You have the information about the
yes,
lawsuit?
Yes. I actually have the Ars Technica article in front of me.
Hey.
Some of you who have a little bit of a memory, that may not be all of you, but some of you, back in the early 90s, there were some lawsuits that between Sun and Microsoft over Microsoft's implementation of Java. Which is a computer language and does a lot of things like Minecraft. Anyway, Sun sued Microsoft over their implementation of it, saying it was, I believe, copyright infringement. It led to a bunch of court cases and eventually to all sorts of things that affected computer science in very weird and interesting ways into the 21st century, including the making of the language C#, which grew out of Microsoft's implementation of Java. This time around, it was the new owners of Java, Oracle, suing Google. And it turns out Google's a little bear in the courtroom than Microsoft because they won this lawsuit. Their use of the Java language spec and their implementation for it was considered fair use by the jury. We'll post an article in the show notes, but yeah.
And it was unanimously.
Yeah, it's unanimous. It wasn't even like a little bit of hesitation there. It was like, oh yeah, Oracle, hey.
Google's right.
Eat it. Where it's fair use. So, I mean, you know, one big crap evil company fighting another big crap evil company. But still, it's kind of interesting because this is, like last time, it is the whole was the snafu with Microsoft, and that really, really affected the way computers worked for a long time. So this is kind of interesting. It is kind of interesting that went the other way this time around, between one big crappy company and another big crappy company.
Alex, but Google's the duplicitously evil company because their tagline, isn't it, do no evil?
Yeah, or don't be evil or something like that. Yeah, that's really awkward. Yeah, exactly. That's got to be like that. I don't know if it's in the if they've got actually got that up on your walls anymore. But I think you actually, if you walked into Mountain View for a while, the front desk had that over the behind the receptionist had. I don't know if they even have that up anymore.
Yeah.
If they do, that seems kind of vaguely weird.
Eventually, the letters start falling off, and it's do oh evil do evil. Yeah.
To serve man.
So yeah, so that could be Paul, like you said, that's Microsoft had problems with that. They had to change the way they did things with operating systems, and other software companies had to follow in suit. Well, now that Google won, it's going to change everything back the opposite direction. You know, OSs and software and the internet in general is going to start kind of like, oh, fair use for this software.
Let us hope.
Yeah. Hopefully Oracle or whoever else decides to keep it updated doesn't just go, well, we lost this one. We're throwing it away. Mm. Well, of course, I could see Google just walking up and going, mine?
Yeah. How many pies does Google have its hands in right now? What are the major things they're doing?
There's a count. I figured it was just, you know, somewhere along infinity.
They just want to control the universe.
Yeah, they're building the machines.
Yeah, it's a good thing Apocalypse isn't around now. Just throwing that in, you just have to hook up with the chairman of Google, Larry Page. It's like, hey, you want some power?
Exactly. Do away with this technology.
All right, so Google's other things they're doing. Google will pay you $40,000 a year to not drive their self-driving cars. The catch on that is you need to live in Arizona.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay, actually, here's the information. You have to be able to type a minimum of 40 words per minute.
Okay. Very important while driving.
Yes.
I can do that.
Especially when you're not driving, while you're driving, while the car is driving. Presumably because you'll be expected to submit reports and ideas.
Please, God, don't kill me.
<I know>.
Yeah.
And you have to live in Chandler, Arizona.
Mm, it's very specific.
I know
it is really specific.
So if you
it's
want
like they made the job for one guy.
A couple other caveats. You must have a bachelor's degree. So it's even getting more complicated.
Yeah, okay. You have to have a bachelor's degree to not drive a car.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to know. They want those highly educated thoughts and feelings. And they know you can type at least 40 words a minute if you have a bachelor's.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
You're thinking people actually took those computer typing classes. They don't need to.
You'd think that it'd just be the Florida audience. Isn't that where all the elderly people who don't drive anyways are?
I know.
Oh.
Well, Arizona has a lot of retired people, too. Yeah. Old people just hate the snow. They flee from it. They're like birds.
Let's see. You have to have a spotless criminal record.
Okay.
Do no crimes.
Because you can't have your car be your getaway vehicle.
I just want to make sure that you're not driving. It's like, you drove. Yeah. You weren't supposed to drive.
I really do want to see the first Google bank job. Like,
I know.
Getaway car. It's just too good. We're sorry, guys.
You're like, Google Home. It's like, did you say Home Depot? No, Google, get out of here. Did you say...
Eventually, you just say yes.
Yeah,
I don't care where we're going.
It's funny you mention bank robberies. I read a while back that Google was when they were working on their self-driving car, and its logic for like not hitting pedestrians. They actually added like forking the logic to determine how many pedestrians should hit if it has to hit a pedestrian. So it's like to hit the one or the four.
Do they discriminate based on size?
I don't know. Because what if it's like hits one small child instead of four old people? So
or it
exactly.
Hits one large child in lieu of one small adult.
Wow.
Such a tragedy.
Bill, is there a minimum amount of time you're required to sit in this car?
Yes.
and watch it run over children.
Well, okay, so they didn't give that part. They more gave you're stuck with a 1 to 2 year contract.
Okay.
And
can you leave the car during the contract?
Leave the car?
Yeah, during the 1 to 2 year contract. Are you allowed to get out of the car?
Oh, yeah, you can get
out of
the car.
Just send it to pick up your children.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like it. Google
well, then
car.
You can't monitor it. You have to sit in it to
monitor. Whose fault is it if the car does kill a child?
It would, at this point, that's actually something that comes out is that, okay, that's what insurance companies were trying to figure out about the self-driving cars. Because
yeah.
if there's a steering wheel, you can actually force the self-driving car to do things. Mm. Google wants to completely remove the self-driving or the steering wheel, be 100% self-driving. So you cannot do anything in this car, which means if it screws up, Google's liable.
Yeah,
I know.
Which means there's none of this questionability or questionable about Google's not going to waste their money or their time in court. They're just going to go, this is our car and you can't do anything about this.
That is kind of tragic, though, because that's pretty gutsy, because I can't find a car company in the world who says, like, it never, ever breaks down.
Yeah, it's going
to never
something
a problem
will happen.
With it.
Because well, even if it yeah. is way, way, way more efficient at driving than human beings, it's going to there's going to be an accident.
But they didn't say that there won't be an accident, because, like you said, it'll be way, way better. But Google is willing to accept the fault.
Well, how do they deal with that? Because is there an upper limit based on state to how much you can sue Google for killing your child?
There is currently in certain states, there is currently with when you go to court anyways.
Imagine in Arizona.
And isn't that above suing anyways? Like, what if the car gets upset and kills like 20 people?
That's right. It's maximum overdrive.
Yeah. And then Google's like, what was the standard payout for all those bodies? Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Stephen King needs to get to work on this.
But you end up, but they won't, even if they pay out for, okay, they'll say there is the catastrophe. Google has their massive accident. They take the blame. They still didn't have to pay out for all of the previous stupid people grabbing the steering wheel and doing something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Or grabbing the steering wheel and running somebody over anyways.
I don't know. Right. I feel like you need something in there
right.
that could stop it.
Really
there's like a in the really cute self-driving cars that Google first prototyped and it like stuck people in. They have like the big soft foam rubber bumper. There's a big button in the middle that just makes it stop. It's like an e-brake.
Yeah, that's
smack,
what I was thinking.
You smack that if it's
something.
If it's like, oh god,
there.
Slap.
Because I don't know how the faulty computers could also be programmed to say, hey, when we're going totally nuts, we're still programmed with the fail-safe thing to recognize we're going totally nuts, and we're good.
Well, it is interesting to note that how the conversation has transformed from criminal liability to civil liability, because we're not talking about, well, are people in Google going to go to jail if the cars malfunction in this sense? It's, well, how much is there monetary penalty for this? Whereas mm-hmm. with a person who defects in their driving, it's always the criminal liability.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, corporations versus people in control.
And Bill, too, someone's smart enough to program these cars, so someone's also smart enough to hack these cars.
Exactly.
And
which would, you know, then you can, it's like finding or having faulty problems with your current car or where you mod your car right now. If you go into Google's car and you mod it, and even the other thing, Google's car is probably also hopping onto your Wi-Fi, making sure things are updated, which means the one time you hop in and modify it, what happens to your Xbox when you modify it? Oh, wait, they lock you out.
Yeah, but
no, but I just see like a sci-fi movie where the criminal warlord takes over everyone's self-driving cars and just drives them off a cliff or something to cause a.
Didn't we learn something from?
Wait,
Apple
Google
being
just
hacked?
Won against the government. No, no, not the government.
Oracle.
Yeah. Wait, that's another lawsuit.
If you want to go toward like you can see it like a sci-fi situation when this happens, you can also just watch The Fast and the Furious where it happens with cars that aren't smart.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I know, people are killing people with cars.
What
anyway.
Was that movie where? Like Halley's Comet flew by and all the cars went crazy. Like
that was Mass Overdrive.
Yeah.
Or Maximum Overdrive.
Yes.
Maximum. Emilio Estevez back when he had his career.
No, but that's different though, Alex, because I'm talking about you can't, if their goal is to make these the norm for everyone, you can't mass program a million people to decide to go bonkers and slaughter everyone. But if you could hack an entire company's worth of cars, you can make them do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It depends on how they're connected.
And that's unique to that.
Well, it'll be more vulnerable than something like a server that controls a nuclear warhead or something like that, which could be a closed server, whereas this would have to necessarily...
I don't know about that. If you want to feel really scared, just look up hack SCADA on Google, and you can see like all sorts of examples of SCADA controls for nuclear power plants being compromised. Uh-huh. Like people put out YouTube videos, stuff like just showing like stuff they've done in just doing security audits for like nuclear power plants and junk like that. It's actually pretty easy to start a nuclear meltdown if you're a hacker.
But why hasn't compared anyone?
Why do it?
Why hasn't anyone?
Here's the thing. Actually, some of the biggest ideas on why some people don't destroy the entire internet. What are you going to do once you destroy the internet?
Say, I was the one who destroyed everything.
And who are you telling this to?
It's the personal satisfaction of the person.
You have personal satisfaction. You yourself know you destroyed the internet. Right. Who are you going to tell, and how are you going to tell them?
You still spread information before the internet.
Okay, yes, but we're so tied into it. You couldn't call anybody. Mm-hmm. You have just destroyed the telephone system.
Right.
You have destroyed internet. You have destroyed the mail system because they need it now. Literally, all you can do is knock on your neighbor's door and go, by the way, I'm the person who took down the internet.
No.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to put a shotgun in your face.
But why would that person? Because we're talking about someone willing to do this, so they're not thinking
about
rationally.
But here's the other thing, though. Okay, you also took it down. So what are you going to do with the rest of your day?
Do people think that far ahead?
No, that's why we have the internet.
And you want to just
destroy
it.
I mean, like, generally hackers are reasonably bright people, generally.
Yeah.
But to go back to your first question about why haven't they done it yet, I mean, it's the same reason that, like, when there's that false alarm for the nuclear test system, the Soviets saw that, oh, crap, the Americans are launching missiles. Same reason the dude didn't do his job and hit the button that would have started World War III. Because nobody wants to start a nuclear meltdown.
Well, yeah. Not nobody. Somebody's do. Like, there's always the Tyler Durden out there we need to destroy everything.
You destroy everything, and you literally... Because that is your entertainment. That is your fun. That is your communication. That is everything.
Not for everyone,
right?
The people that are smart enough to do it, yes.
Well, no, because not all intelligent people are rational people. Like, you have the super mathematicians. Like, you have... Like people like Bobby Fischer, who they're obviously brilliant,
yeah,
and they spout incredibly insane stuff. Like, they're not.
But they also understand how they can get their information quicker and better.
No, what if their goal was just to study the technology just to destroy it, that they always hate it? People do that.
Yeah, the angry Luddite who's actually
yeah,
really technical.
Oh, but that Luddite was his way to justify it, as he was the Luddite. He's like, I have to learn my enemy to destroy it. And then he's totally happy.
Yeah, that's because when you have over like nearing 7 billion people, I think, and you have, say, the upper 1%, 70 million people who are incredibly intelligent, you're going to find some incredibly intelligent, disturbed people who understand all this stuff but don't care.
Yeah.
They just want to see the world burn like Joker.
Yeah, and lots of people don't have the internet or anything, too, and they're just fine. So it could be one of those people.
But they also destroy their phones.
Going back to Jordan's point originally, I forgot. Actually, that has happened, that SCADA control also been knocked offline by hackers.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in the Ukraine.
Okay.
There was like a huge chunk of the power grid. They didn't like trigger a meltdown or anything, but a huge portion of the Ukrainian power grid got taken down by, they're assuming, Russian hackers, but it's not been proven yet. But it was probably Russian hackers.
Mm-hmm. And going back to driving cars, why is it supposed to be safer? Because I don't really buy that, because I don't like the idea of everything.
I think so. Like, have you driven with people?
No, but either way, I feel like the percentage, I don't know.
Yeah, like Jordan. If Jordan's the baseline,
yeah,
seriously, take
driver.
Bill's laptop now and tie it to my steering wheel.
No, but like in big cities and stuff too, I just don't. I can't imagine like
imagine Jordan
Salt
in big
Lake
cities.
City
yeah.
Going 80 miles an hour and everyone's perfectly going through there and working with each other.
Well, okay, but that's the thing is, you with the machines doing it, that means you will go the speed limit. You won't, you won't cause the accidents, and the machine does not have to be perfect. The machine just has to be better, and they've already proven that time after time. The machines are better.
Yeah,
they aren't perfect, but they are better. They also can take all this information because the car is looking around you, or the machine is looking around your car, everything, identifying everything. Sees more than you can actually see,
mm-hmm,
and then can react to it faster, can recognize the issues faster. Netflix tells you what you want to watch because You've generally told it what you're doing. It knows you.
Yeah, but
you.
It's usually wrong, though. I don't like any of its
okay.
recommendations.
Well, how about the FedEx? If you have a FedEx account, they have a system set up that if you cancel, or before you know you're going to cancel your account, they send you all the products that to make sure you don't cancel your account because you're acting in a certain way.
Huh. Well, yeah. I buy it like the Netflix thing. Things of taste, I think the computer would have difficulty judging because even other people can't judge each other's taste. Like I've been surprised at things that people don't like and surprised at what they do like, even if I thought that I knew their taste. But things like safety and driving, that's more objective. It's like a car is clearly going this fast. It's a computer is better to able to calculate its distance and where it's going to be at any given time than a human can intuit. And so that's something, but I do think that there's legitimate safety concerns as far as we've seen demonstrated over and over again that hackers, they can infiltrate anything.
Yeah, and that's what I think. It's because I think that's way more of a tragedy potentially than people driving their own cars.
Yeah. Also, have you guys seen Gray's video? Humans Need Not Apply?
No.
Okay, we'll post it in the show notes. It's a lengthy video. CPG Gray, and he does all these. He spends time, lots and lots of time, making his videos. But this one is actually like 15 minutes long. Like, so it's kind of lengthy for his. Usually his are 5, but oddly he explains it well. He does a great job at it, and he talks about how we have evolved over horses. They were our form of transportation, and now we stepped past horses and we have these cars. And he just goes into all this explanation. Well, like I said, we'll post it in the show notes. I'll show it to you guys later. Maybe we'll talk about it in the next podcast or just everyone watch it. It's just an amazing video.
Yeah.
More with Google getting into your house now. So Google owns Nest, which is one of the internet or smart house device or companies.
I got one of those. Tell me what Google's doing, because sometimes I brush my teeth naked and the thermostat's right outside the door.
Hey! Well, Google is making a device called Home, which is compatible with all... So it's a hub for those devices.
Can I brush my teeth naked in front of it?
It doesn't have a camera, so it doesn't care.
Oh.
It's like this.
You know, Alex, do you want it to have a camera?
But it's competing
I'm actually brushing my teeth naked right now. It's nobody wants. Yeah. I no keep bringing it up and nobody wants to address it.
It's the elephant in the room, so to speak.
But it's competing with Amazon Echo. So they're coming out with that, and so it should work with other devices. You might need intermediate devices, but it should work with the Nest devices,
which has
not been very high selling because they are literally the most expensive version of home internet.
It kind of sucks for the Nest because there's like so few things that actually wire into it. Like Apple's HomeKit, like I don't think it uses Nest at all.
Mm-hmm.
And like most of the like Philips's home automation, like APIs, I don't think they touch it either. Like, I think Nest is just kind of its own thing. It's like, okay, it's a really good thermostat.
Yeah, with the advent of all these things, I think Back to the Future is off by just about 15 years or so. 20 years,
like,
and then it would be like flying cars will never be an issue because those are basically helicopters. But yeah, all this other fancy stuff like VR and just the automated home.
Hey, we already can play games without controllers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just wave your hands around in front of it.
Yeah, and Bill, and that's a crossover too, is that when are they going to force everyone to be in automated cars?
That's actually some of the other nice things about with automated cars is if they're smart enough to react faster and better to other drivers, because they're making sure they will, which means you won't have to eventually force everyone to come over, but you could force it in certain areas.
Yeah.
You know, horses aren't allowed on the road.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they'd ever enforce it, but I think the insurance premiums would be an issue.
There could be.
Because I think the insurance companies are what's going to drive it.
You know, I'm really looking forward to maybe 20 years from now where they make a sequel to Driving Miss Daisy, where she has to get along with her robotic driver.
And she has to teach her car how to read.
The robot butler that doesn't know how to read.
That's going
to
be me. I'll be the racist robot guy. Because I already know I'm going to be the old guy that's just like hates all technology. And I'll be like, get out of here, robot waiter. I remember when real people used to bring me my coffee.
But I do it better. I don't spill a drop. I always get your order right.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll never trust you.
I didn't ask to be born.
So I'd be Mr. Daisy.
I was just made. Do you think I'd
like
to be robot
up,
waiter?
Car.
Yeah, it'd be the heartwarming tale where you learn to love the robot.
No way.
Are you gonna be the one driving the hatchback Honda down the road because it's the only thing that still runs that you can drive?
Exactly.
Joe finally gets his new automated car. It's like, Joe, do you think I want to be a Toyota Celica for you? And then like the washer fluid starts kind of leaking out the front and like it has to wipe away its little tears.
I'll be like, you're the worst car. Get out of here.
The sad part at the end will be when you realize that the AI malfunctioned and the hard drive was burned and you're like, oh, robot, I learned to love you and now you're gone. That'll be your Academy Award moment.
I know.
I'm like, wow. We have one more thing before our sponsor. Let's go with Doom.
Doom. So it's out.
Technically, it's Doom 3, but it's just
named.
Or is it Doom 4?
There you go, buddy.
Is it Doom 4? Doom 4. But
it's actually called Doom.
Yeah, like the naming standard of everything.
Capital letters.
Doom.
Yeah, if you make a new one, just take the number off because that's not confusing. Right. Especially because there's a game made in 1994 called Doom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Bethesda just knocked out of the park. They made a really great game. Like, I'm only about 4 hours in, and it's so awesome. I really like it so far. I haven't tried the multiplayer campaign yet.
I was going to ask. So the single player, though, is
epic. I like Doom 3. I thought it was a pretty good game. I'm a much bigger Doom fan. This actually feels a lot like Doom. It's got a lot of the same mechanics. Like, it's, for one thing, it's fast. Like, you run around really fast.
Kind
of
like the first one.
Like, I mean, you play Halo, you notice how, like, slow the Master Chief is and how slow his hops and stuff are. You move. Like, you really, really run in this.
What's your favorite thing to dismember in that game?
Oh, God, what don't I like tearing apart? Everything is really fun to just hit and mess up. Like, just every single thing. Like, you, like, try to find new ways, interesting ways to kill stuff.
So, do they have some of the fun little, you know, Easter eggs like they did the first one, like shooting Commander Keen?
So this one's loaded with it. It's actually a gameplay mechanic. There's these they look like Funko Pop dolls. They're hidden all over the place. They're all Doom guys, and you're supposed to find them. And they're supposed to be in three in each level. And if you get them, then it contributes toward experience for your character. Which experience sounds like a not Doom thing. I actually kind of like it because they do it like the same way System Shock did it. You get like upgrade modules for your armor and like your weapons, and you wouldn't otherwise. And they're really you wouldn't otherwise. So like you really want to find them, and they usually this is embarrassing. I've only found one so far, but I know there's like,
so it's kind of like the skulls in Halo.
Yeah, they're super hard to find. All right. They're just crazy hard to find. But it's.
Do you still walk around like patting the wall, trying to figure out where's the secret?
Walking down doorways going, sliding the space bar. maybe that's why I'm found it, because I'm trying like just mashing the E key. But it's
Be space bar.
Yeah. But in this one, it's there's a lot more. Like, they try to, like, for, like, moving around the levels and stuff, instead of just having, like, lots of doors and hallways, they actually have, like, some interesting terrain, which, again, doesn't sound like a Doom thing, but they make it fun because, like, if the platforming in it, like, if you latch onto a ledge, you can climb up. So it has platforming almost like Assassin's Creed.
Oh, okay.
Because, you just go jumping around.
Yeah, grab it all.
Yeah, it's very easy to tell, I'm supposed to jump here, because they oftentimes, like, put little visual cues. Like, ledges will have, like, kind of, like, green lights on them. Mm-hmm. They're just part of the ledge. And you can do that to, like, figure out where you're supposed to go next. And, like, because you pull yourself up on stuff, it's a lot easier to make jumps.
That sounds like Far Cry games.
Far Cry.
Yeah.
It's actually a lot more like that's a better comparison than Assassin's Creed. It's a lot more like Far Cry.
Even in Assassin's Creed, there was still, like, you shouldn't jump here. There was still the, hey, there's a little bit extra hay hanging off the edge of this thing. If I run and just jump, I'm probably safe.
Yeah. they make it just blatantly clear that you're probably not going to make this jump if you try it. And, like, really risky jumps, you generally make it. It adds up for a nice experience because, like, they'll have, like, divisions of the map where, like, you can be fighting with stuff across, like, a lava pit. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're able to, like, space stuff out in interesting ways and do cool stuff with the maps, which is one of the reasons Doom was great. they just did such a killer job of the maps. This one's got really good maps too. Nice. And they're all contained in areas kind of like the Doom maps where they're like the areas feel big and open, but like the total area of the maps are a lot smaller than like the open world games like Far Cry. Or not open world, but the like where there's like a big world map. Mm-hmm. It feels like you get that open kind of lofty feel with each of the maps, but there's clear divisions for like completing this map. And when you're done with area, there's no backtracking. You're just done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in this because that's probably the only other big game of this year. Well, I guess I may give Final Fantasy 15.
How about Uncharted?
Well, yeah, I've already played and beat that, though. Yeah.
Oh, I think I like games are in total.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Far Cry 4. Uncharted 4, that was such an amazing game. Like, again, not as good as The Last of Us, but that's not saying much because The Last of Us is one of the greatest games
fair.
Ever made.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Doom isn't as good as The Last of Us. But it is still really fun. I think like my favorite thing with it is the plot, because there isn't one. Like the
go through shoot things.
Yes, you immediately start with like your eyes open up and you're in a dark room and you've got a gun in your hand. And like you hear things groaning, walking towards you, and it's the crappy starter pistol that shoots out like little bolts of blue.
Oh yeah,
and you're in pitch darkness, just trying to shoot stuff and like trying to figure out where the enemies are just by looking at where the blue balls are going, and they're like slowly walking towards you. So you have to like just be shooting in the dark, trying to find these things. Once you finally get out of that horror, you find your armor immediately. And right from that point forward, they kind of develop like this almost System Shock like plot where you've got this kind of like symbiotic relationship with this AI. And they're upfront about it.
Is it voiced by Peter Dinklage, who's like, there are wizards on that moon?
No, the voice actors are really good in the game. Like there's this uncaring scientist that's like using hell technology to make awful stuff. Spoilers, it doesn't go well. And then the AI
it never
is this,
does.
The AI is this like military robot. And it's like clearly doesn't care that all the humans died on the base. It just doesn't care. It's like, oh, hey, you're awesome. Why don't we just hang out?
Almost like Portal 2.
Yeah. It's like really apathetic. The game is also like dark funny, mm-hmm. but not like smart funny the way Portal was. Like they have fun with the gore effects. Mm. Like when you find like a bioscanner, like you just walk around the dude's hand and he's like, plap. Oh, it's like you slap it up on like a bioscanner and like the handle stick there for a minute and then slowly go down the bioscanner, just like leave a trail of blood. They have a lot of fun with the gore effects. Cause I think that's the prettiest thing. The game's overall very pretty, but the gore effects are what make this just beautiful. Like just blood and just crap flying in your face or chainsawing stuff or ripping. Like one of the enemies that they like, a common thing they have for the enemies is like you can stun them and do a melee attack to finish them. There's some enemies that they just let you just run up and do the melee attack because it's so funny. The lower zombies, you can rip off their own arm and just beat them with it.
Yeah, I don't want to play that. I love Doom.
It is really fun. Like I'd be curious to see how it looks on the console because on the PC it looks great. But yeah, I'd be curious to see what it looks like on like a PS4 or Xbox One.
I know I need to get my.
Are there contact points like if you shoot them in the knee?
Okay. Yeah, you can stun them in different ways. Some of them, it's like harder to stun them if you shoot them in anywhere but like the head. Mm-hmm. Or if like you can kneecap them and actually kneecapping is a good way to slow them down because you can get like a partial stun that way and very easily go up and finish them off with just like one shot.
Right.
But yeah, kneecapping is a great way to take enemies down.
No, that's good. Oh,
I was going to say. Okay, so. Previously with Doom, like the dumber zombies, the lower levels, but they carried shotguns. You'd walk into a room of like 100 of them. The greatest thing to do was to run around the corner, shoot one of them, not kill him, but just shoot him.
They shoot each other in this one too.
Yes. Oh yeah,
yeah, they totally shoot each other. And like that's occasionally, cool. Like they'll like start attacking each other, but usually they just kind of look really pissed off at the other one. Like you'll have I've had like imps like throw stuff at Hell Knights, and they like I haven't gotten the Hell Knight to fight another thing. Yeah. But yeah, I've gotten the equivalent of the chain gunner from mm-hmm. Doom to like get in like a shooting match with, like imps and stuff.
Right.
I don't think they'll like fully disengage you, but like they'll like throw stuff at each other, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, usually you cool. like run around the corner and you shoot and you duck right back around the corner
and they fully engage with each other. But yeah they'll shoot each other in this one too.
Nice.
And like I've got them to, I don't know if it's accidentally or what, but I've got them to shoot back at each other. But yeah, they will definitely, they won't like fully disengage with you, but they will shoot each other.
That's
Nice. Cool. Which is really funny.
Yeah, I bet. That was actually some of the fun stuff, the old games.
Yeah, that's really fun to get, like, a, especially like if you get like a cyber demon with like a spider mastermind or something like that. Oh. And it's, you just sit back and watch for like a good 5 minutes while they're just blowing each other up.
You know, since they're bringing back the old games, a game, I probably mentioned this before, that I wish they would do is Soldier of Fortune.
That would be really cool.
I know.
Yeah, because I love blowing off legs and stuff.
Why don't they do that anymore? Because
well, a lot of games, they have that mechanic anyway. I mean, if you just want that mechanic of Doom, you've got that. And also Fear 3 had that too. Fear 3 had the gnarliest, like, disabling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Fear 3 had these really gross things. Like you blow off a dude's arm, and he would, like, still keep fighting. Or you, like, blow off a leg and you keep, like, shooting for the ground. Or, like, you could, like, blow off, like, quarter of a dude's face.
Yeah,
and
that's better, because that's what was cool about Soldier of Fortune, is that you could just blast off their legs, and then they're just laying down like, ah!
I know, and then it's different impact. Like, if you shoot them with a shotgun, it has a different effect than if you shoot them with a magnum.
And those were, like, 90s games, and so I'm like, there's no reason why they can't do that.
I know, that was, I just loved doing that. Like, I remember just spending hours on one level, just, I'd put myself on invisible mode, and I'd just kneecap people. And
after your death, they're like, well, that was fun. I'm gonna go play The Sims now.
Exactly.
So awesome. I don't know, there's something about just torturing virtual characters was really fun. It's okay, because
this is why you two are afraid of self-driving cars, because self-driving car is going to slowly start tightening the seatbelt around you until you choke to death.
See, I have respect for the self-driving car. I am not worried.
Yeah, because Bill, like, Bill played The Sims like a normal person instead of trying to trap them in a plaster prison until they die.
No, it's normal.
Actually, I still kind of played it when, after, like, hours gone, like, I walked away from it. I'm like, I totally wasted my time playing my watching my sim play a game on his computer while I played. This is stupid.
Hey, Bill, you know what I'm surprised Google's not doing is, you know, all the kids like to watch games and not play them. Why don't they make their computer who will play your games for you? You're just like, autoplay Doom, and then just kick back.
Actually,
and there you go.
In the original game, if you let it set, it would, the credit or the screen would go away, and you would see the guy run through the game.
Hmm. What, in Doom?
In Doom, yeah. No, I remember that, because if you said that you didn't do anything for a while, it would melt the screen would melt away. I think you still had the
hit
enter.
You see a sample of it.
Yeah,
it wasn't like the sample, but taken on the whole game, like your autopilot game.
Yeah,
you're like, this is too hard. I just want the story. I know. Autoplay game.
I just got Uncharted 4. I couldn't wait. I've waited like 3 years. Now, autoplay. So awesome.
Yeah.
Would that be the next thing in movies?
But yeah.
Autoplay. It pretty much would be just a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
I want to do the VR autoplay.
Oh, speaking of which, here's a side note too. It wasn't on the show notes, but in Utah, they're going to build their VR paintball or like laser tag thing.
Yes,
where it's all just the
arena. I thought they already built that.
Well, they might. It might be open. It's like in, I think, West Valley or something. But that's
the idea.
They
basically made Westworld.
Yeah, pretty much. Because they said they have just a normal arena, but then you put on your goggles and so you're actually walking around. But it's the sensors are built around, so you're not going to like hit a wall or something. But
well, also the walls are, you see the walls, so you could actually walk through some of the walls because they're not really there.
Yeah,
but some of the walls are really there, so they kind of like guide you. So they can change the map around it, so it's a small building. Mm-hmm. But as you wander around, they can change the map on you, so you could wander the same spot. But it looks different.
Yeah, that'd be
pretty awesome. You can have your nom with your friends where they're just realistically rendered, and as you shoot them, they're just the gore effects. You like, see your friends go, ah!
Where your body suit that shocks you, so it forces you to fall down, and you're like, ah! But yeah, there you go.
We'll have to do that.
I know, I want to try it out.
So I just looked it up, and you can do monster infighting between monsters in Doom 4. But it may only be certain types of monsters will fight other types of monsters, because like generally I wasn't noticing like the zombies fighting each other, but I got imps and other things to shoot each other.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just certain types of them. But yeah, you can actually do that.
That's good. That's
you
nice.
Can't get everyone to attack the boss.
Alex, are they announcing any expansion content for that?
Like, I don't know, but I really hope so, because I really love the Doom 3 expansion packs.
Yeah, it was the Resurrection of Evil.
That was
where
so
they had
fun.
Their rip-off gravity gun for Half-Life.
It's like, you can pick up a crate.
A box. It's so fun.
Was there any package deals with that when you bought yours?
Yeah, I got the, I think I got some extra skins or something because I pre-ordered it. Okay. I really wish I got like the Uber pre-order. There's like a super pre-order you could have gotten that had like all kinds of just free crap.
Huh. Was there a season pass or anything though? Like with Fallout, I got the season pass, which means all the updates they come out with, I get now. Nope.
I don't know. I don't think so. They didn't mention anything about that. I got the Demon Multiplayer Pack, as whatever that was. I don't really care because I was playing single player, but
yeah.
So I'll probably try multiplayer eventually, especially if it's really fast. But I've heard like people complain about the multiplayer, so I don't know if I want to try it. I would be okay if I just bought like a $40 single player game that's really fun.
Yeah.
I don't even play multiplayer anyway because I just get destroyed too easy.
Yeah, I never play multiplayer.
I'd rather play with friends.
I can do Splatoon sort of multiplayer. But other than that, I just die over and over again.
I read people saying it has to be 60 frames per second because otherwise you die in multiplayer. And I'm like, if that actually makes a difference from you, you're way, way, way better than I am.
Yeah.
I heard that and I tried it. So that's why I built my Hot Stuff gaming rig. Didn't help. Not at all. Like, I think I got like one or two extra kills a match in Cisco, but nope. 10 FPS or 60, it didn't matter.
All right, so we'll move on to our sponsor with Carmike Pine Ridge 11 with their Big D Theater located at 4355 Yellowstone Avenue in Chubbuck, Idaho. There's an event coming up next Thursday, the 2nd of June. I'm like, what month is coming up?
Yeah.
The 2nd of June. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Timinta.
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 Timinta 2.
Timinta.
So there's going to be two events going on, one at 5 and one at 7:15 at the Big D Theater. And I will be giving away prizes, asking questions. It'll be lots of fun. Go show up. We had lots of prizes thanks to Captain Bangles.
Yeah, for X-Men.
Just get people came down. Also, Carmike gave away pins for X-Men. So there was all sorts of fun stuff. And TMNT, too, is actually looking like the same thing. If you like the first one, like Alex. I actually did not hate it. Though I am very excited with Bebop Rocksteady and Green Arrow with a hockey puck.
Yeah.
But so that event's coming up. But what we were going to talk about is the X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, we all watched it yesterday.
So we will spoil it next week, but we'll rate it this week. So what did you guys think?
Do we want to go around the table? Or?
Yeah, Alex, we'll start with you.
Yeah.
It got like a 52 on Metacritic. I think it's a little better than that. If I were to give a score, I'd say like a 70. That's what I'd say. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the movie. But objectively, I think it's as objective as it can be about movie reviews. I'm going to say 70.
Compared to the other X-Men movies?
It's my least favorite Bryan Singer X-Men movie. I liked it better than the original X-Men made in 2000.
All right.
So it's between those two.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that rating. I'd give it like a 70. I might give it even a little higher. I'd say C or C minus for me. And it's like Alex said, it really is such a subjective thing because, I mean, when you have superheroes and everything, it's really, really easy to find plot holes. Like, it's really easy. And so it seems a little unfair to say, yeah, this movie's bad because of all the plot holes when you watch Civil War and say, hey, that's awesome. And if I mean, it's put to scrutiny, there's probably
helicopter.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. Yeah,
exactly.
Captain America. Yeah. And so, but for some reason, Civil War really resonated with me. And this one, it had its moments. I really like Quicksilver. And
oh, Quicksilver's so good.
I know.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
But a lot of my enjoyment was actually because it felt cheesy and I enjoyed the cheesiness. Yeah. And so that's C minus. That seems like a fair score.
Yeah, I know. I'd give it the same. I'd give it a 70. It's a C minus for me, mostly because it's funny because people are saying the same thing as the last trilogy, where Bryan Singer started out, and then Last Stand was really bad. Which is Last Stand is Above and beyond, way worse than this movie. Like, that's a terrible movie, and this is not a terrible movie. But people are saying the same thing where this one was Matthew Vaughn influence, and out of the three, First Class was my favorite. He directed it, and people are saying the same thing too, where now you have, like, you can't say, well, what if Bryan Singer made the third movie? They're like, he did. Now everyone's like, what if Matthew Vaughn and Jane Goldman, who are really talented, like, stayed involved, which they weren't. And I felt like it showed for me, because I guess, like, I liked X-Men. I watched all the movies, but really it was, like, Matthew Vaughn's reboot that got me into it. And so this one kind of felt like, eh, it's back to the X-Men movies, which was always just, eh, right. It's X-Men to me, like, Singer, until Matthew Vaughn came in.
Bryan Singer has had his hits or misses anyways, and Matthew Vaughn has been way more consistent with what he's produced.
Yeah. I mean,
because he's done, was it Layer Cake? And he did.
And Stardust. Yeah. Kick-Ass and Kingsman and everything. So that's what I kind of missed. Because I thought that's what I loved about First Class was that it not only had the new, like, totally recast everyone, but he made a movie that didn't need Hugh Jackman in it either to still be awesome. And that it really felt the periods. And so I like the idea of all the periods going through. And Days of Future Past, it wasn't as much. Like, I thought First Class felt like the time frame that it was in the most, but this movie is supposed to be in the 80s apparently.
you can't really tell
who cares. It didn't, and so that was kind of disappointing, is that besides the fact that you get all the new X-Men being younger, that's really the only indication that it wasn't like a 2000s X-Men movie.
Maybe Jean Grey's hairdo, I guess.
I know.
Yeah, like, basically hair and like clothes were the only indicator, but like even then that's really tough to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But
and the TVs, the terrible,
they had old TVs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it. Thematically, it didn't like it because a lot of the reasons people like the X-Men because they address like big social issues. I mean, that's always the thing, is like, oh, Charles is Martin Luther King and Magneto is Malcolm X.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's been a running theme through the whole series. And this one, despite the fact that they camp against Apocalypse and thematically, you'd think it would go to the place of like religion, gods, and things like that, and it didn't even really touch. Like, there wasn't really a theme. They're just telling a story about the characters.
Apocalypse was so wasted in that movie.
I know, and I would have rather had just Magneto, because the way they kind of set up, like,
I know that
why he kind of goes
great
to the dark side. If Magneto would have just recruited people and do the same thing Apocalypse, that would have been a way better movie.
Well, that might be more like the TV show, which would be a great next movie.
Because that's what I wish they would have been setting up, because it is kind of annoying with the wishy-washy of Magneto. And so going in that direction where, what was his like league called that he set up?
His lead what?
His organization. Yeah, where if this movie would have been like the Brotherhood, where they kind of develop Magneto, where he's finally like, no, I'm done. Like, I respect you, Charles, but I'm recruiting people for the Brotherhood. That's the movie I would have wanted to watch, because that felt like that was the point of the movie anyways, was really setting up like Patrick Stewart's X-Men. So they emphasize we're creating the X-Men. So I was like, why not create the Brotherhood and dump Apocalypse?
So strong with Magneto too. Like, I liked where it's going, and then it just.
I was a little sad they didn't spend more time on that, because they could have spent like I know like every movie's been the Magneto movie, but they could have spent like the first half of the movie on Magneto again, and then just like worked that subplot. Because I mean, that was like what the Wolverine movie tried to do a little bit. Like, he's leading the quiet life. They could have really stretched that out, like where he could have like gone back to work, and then the people could have been looking at him suspiciously, and then like there could have been whispers, and then like police start skirting with him longer instead of just they could have spent more time on Magneto's story.
Yeah, but. And that, because he was the best, because I loved him. I remember all of his scenes in First Class, like when he's assassinating those Nazis and stuff. I'm like, man, this guy, you get his motivation. He's super awesome. And then he was just so stale.
Yeah, this
movie.
One, there was a motivation, but like I told this to Jamie. I thought it felt kind of melodramatic.
Yeah.
And like she kind of looked at me weird, because I mean, it's the X-Men. Right?
Yeah.
That's like the reason people didn't like the X-Men, because of the whole melodramatic three-way relationship with Scott and Logan and Jean. And that's melodrama is the bread and butter of the X-Men.
So you're saying you would have liked more Magneto. You would have had to cut it. Something else.
Because Apocalypse. I know.
Okay, yes.
It could have been X-Men The Brotherhood.
True. Speaking of which, it's a 2.5-hour long movie.
Yeah, they could have dumped that. They could have dumped Apocalypse out and just done a movie around Magneto. But what did you think about Apocalypse? I heard a lot of people online were really down on Apocalypse. I didn't think he is too bad. His voice or accent thing he had, where he sounded vaguely Godfather-esque to me, was a little bothered me a little bit. But
I just felt he is Ultron 2.0, where he is an inconsequential villain. Like, what did he ultimately accomplish?
Which leads to my next question. Who do you feel is a good X-Men villain? Like, is the only X-Men villain, or actually the better question, who's
Magneto.
A good Marvel villain? Because, like, okay, Magneto's good, but...
Magneto's also one of the more powerful, in the entire Marvel universe.
Yeah.
He is, like... up there, like top five, I would go.
And there's a reason
powerful.
He's always against Charles, who's also about the same.
Ridiculously,
well, I like that you said that too, Alex, because I think that's one of the biggest reasons why, like, Batman's my favorite character. Yeah. It's not because Batman, because DC does their villains right, and it's particularly Batman. Because Marvel, they don't have good villains. Most of the movies are just like, hey, here's like a crappier version of the hero. So they're like, who's fighting Ant-Man? Like a tinier guy who's also like Ant-Man. Who's fighting Iron Man? Another guy that has bionic you know, they just put lots of good effort in their characters.
Captain
but.
America, you know, the idea where they brought up in Civil War was, you're not going to punch your way out of this one. Some of these characters, you know, Captain America, that's why he's a better Avenger movie than he is a solo movie.
Yeah.
Because him, the Hulk, and Superman all have, how do you get out of this? Punch harder.
Uh-huh.
No, literally, that's your entire premise.
I don't think there's been a Marvel villain who has equaled, like, the Joker in The Dark Knight, where he truly just causes insane damage everywhere.
Well, not just that, but also, what about even the other side, where this person that doesn't see them as a bad guy, but they are a bad guy? Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
He is not a bad guy. He sees super. That's why he doesn't identify Superman as Superman. He identifies him as the alien,
mm-hmm.
who is a threat to the human species. The closest person I could see in the Marvel Universe to Lex Luthor is Tony Stark.
I don't know. There's another one, too. Guy who... one of the villains in the X-Men, the Stryker.
Oh,
yeah.
Stryker is
definitely
there.
He's in line with that.
But I don't
He's not very menacing, though. He's just kind of he's just kind of a jerk.
I
feel like that much of a threat.
I feel like Stryker is more of Amanda Wallace. She works in the government. She'll be the head over to the Suicide Squad.
Hmm.
She works with the government. She does her thing. She's always sketchy in the background. But herself, she's more of a leader than an actual.
Yeah, she doesn't actually.
I am the brains.
Yeah.
I am the one who created this.
One in the trailer who's always talking about we've got the worst of the worst.
Yes.
Okay.
So
I've actually got an answer for my own question.
Okay.
And he's the one Marvel movie hero that I've actually liked. Apocalypse, my number two. I think Kevin Bacon is Sebastian Shaw in the first class.
He was an interesting.
He was
villain.
a good villain. Like he wasn't. Yeah. He did like his motivations weren't like. I don't know. He was just kind of mean. Like that's more or less his motivation. But he was like a really menacing villain.
And he was Kevin Bacon.
He's Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
He did a great job. And his powers were also menacing too. Because I mean, he had powers that could snap to Magneto, no problem.
Mm-hmm. No, because I wish they would have that. Because I think Marvel needs that more. I think that would strengthen them up.
They do need more sympathetic villains that are like actually fleshed out characters. Because Ultron's
Magneto's the best, mm-hmm. and that's why I even worry about Thanos. I think Thanos is just going to be a giant purple guy that everyone beats up.
I got my Infinity Stones. Everyone unite against me.
Somebody else I think in the Marvel Universe who has not been properly done well in the movies is Doom.
Oh, Dr.
Doom.
Dr. Doom.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. He's kind of the tortured character.
Yeah, he's very tortured. He's been through a whole lot, and he is super OP. Like, he is like...
Iron Man suit, and he's like even smarter, and
also he's like, and he actually has legitimate powers. He's like, there's a planet here, snap, and there's not anymore.
I like the Doctor Doom sequence in Fantastic Four where he had his
blowing up
Akira moment, where he's just charging through, we're casually strolling through.
That's why the first half of that movie is great. The build up, everything else, that movie. Actually need another half an hour because I'm killing everybody.
It's
why?
Too fast.
I'm the bad guy?
Like that's right. He's the insane.
Let us send a nuke through that fails at least.
I just thought about two. Know which ones I'd give props to is The first two Raimi Spider-Man movies, they're good villains because Doc Ock
was
cool.
Yeah. Doc Ock
was
really good.
So it was like
good.
Willem Dafoe, he was good Green Goblin. So Spider-Man is probably the closest thing to like Batman level that his character is kind of built around an entourage of pretty cool. Like Venom's really cool.
Mm. Kingpin.
Yeah.
Kingpin's great.
Yeah. And
but
so
Goblin Jr. wasn't really
I know.
Cool.
Goblin Jr. No. Mm.
James Franco, quit trying to emote.
Oh, actually, speaking of James Franco, so they're going to start working on the Booster Gold. This is DC. You guys know who Booster Gold is? No. Or the Blue Beetle?
Uh-uh.
Oh, wait, yeah, yeah. He's basically Iron Man, isn't he?
Oh, Blue Beetle's basically Iron Man, but his suit is alien. Booster Gold is from the future where we've wiped out all diseases. Everybody is absolutely perfect. There's no problems. So he's a janitor, and he's bored with it, and he steals the Booster Gold outfit and the alien that knows what the future is or what all the history has been, and he goes back to the present, to our present, to be a superhero.
Yeah, nice.
I think James Franco could totally be that guy.
Yeah, James Franco.
Or Seth Rogen. Time travel now.
I see James Franco a little bit more, but yeah.
Just be nonstop time travel.
Because he wants to be a superhero, and so to make sure he does things right, he's very, you know, he has this machine helping him along, but he's so like super sub, you know, superhero that like the Justice League, they're saving the planet. Well, he still goes and he does some things that actually are affecting, but nobody just, you be okay over there.
James Franco's weird. I think he's kind of like Nicolas Cage where he needs to be in the right movie to be a good actor.
Yeah.
Because I really liked him in This Is the End and I liked him in 127th Hour.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah,
I didn't see This Is the End, but I was like, Nick Cage is it? I'll see it now.
Nick Cage has some movies. I like him as Big Daddy. He was really awesome
Las
in that movie.
Leaving Las Vegas. And
he's really good in Con Air. Really good
in
that.
That's right.
I actually had to break up Con Air over 3 days because I couldn't watch all one series. It just hurts too
bad. You
were
won over by Cyrus the Virus.
But yeah.
He was really great in The Wicker Man.
It's so good. I love The Wicker Man so much.
Greatest movie.
Wait, you know who else he was really good as? Superman.
Yeah, his dream. Yes. You know he has a child named Kal-El?
Why not?
Yeah. I think it was Kal-El, not Jor-El. Yeah, it's Kal-El.
So we'll see. But with X-Men, with not spoilers, but based on the secret scene, I don't think 90s will be our Brotherhood movie either. I think they're just going to be like, and watch Singer's first movie, and then that's Magneto with his super group.
It would
there
be
you
so
go.
Weird yeah. with the 90s because that takes place just, I'm not sure where in the 90s it'll be, but it'll just be a few years before the previous
Patrick Stewart.
Old, yeah, and you'll have James McAvoy who's like, it'll just take 2 more years and I'll look like Patrick Stewart. Yeah.
What they could do is they could just be like, oh man, because the timeline reset, I decided not smoke. Yeah. I look much younger.
And they can age people. They should have done that with McAvoy.
Yeah.
I know, a little gray. A little bit.
Because even Ian McKellen, like Fassbender is a long ways from Ian McKellen, in the 2000 movie.
In the 80s, both Charles and Magneto should have looked a lot older.
I know.
Because they'd be like 50s or maybe 60s. Because
they're like, remember the Bay of Pigs when we looked exactly the same because that movie's only 5 years ago?
And it'll be.
They could also reintroduce, they did this in the comics a little bit, and I mostly remember from the cartoon, where they end up using the same type of serum that was used on Captain America, which actually ends up maximizing their powers and actually makes them younger again. It heals them.
Age.
Yeah.
Juicing.
Yeah. Yes, they're juicing.
Yeah.
It's super juicing.
Well, they better be if they're going to have the young cast appear in the 90s.
I know.
Like, are you sure you're not still in your 20s?
All right. So
we'll see.
So, yeah. Also, stick around. There's stuff after, like all Marvel movies, there's stuff after the the credits.
Well, hey, you'll probably have to Google it. I did.
Don't worry. Everybody did. It was homework. Things that came out, though, this started this week or last week, I guess, whatever Sunday was. AMC has premiered Preacher.
Yeah, I like it.
It's a DC Comics Vertigo, their Vertigo line. What did you guys think?
I was impressed because it wasn't, I never watched Into the Badlands, but apparently that's like their full-on campy show. And then I was hoping that Preacher wouldn't be too melodramatic like Walking Dead. And they just nailed it right down the middle, that it is serious enough when it has to be, but then totally absurd when it wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was it was enjoyable. I am in the wait and see camp because I can see it going either way, but I thought that it was it was campy but not too campy, and I mean, if you watch it in a certain light, it's super entertaining. But yeah, you can't take it seriously at all, which you can't take the comics seriously at all. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, and the gore is really, really awesome. So it had, like, because especially there's a scene in the airplane that me and Jordan were saying, it's like almost like movie quality, yeah. Like the mm-hmm. choreography it's of all the fights and just the effects and the gore and just having people with fire and they stab people and impale ones and stuff is really cool.
And did you notice they killed Tom Cruise?
When?
It was on the news in the background.
Oh, he's dead?
Yeah, he was one of the people over the churches.
Who exploded.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Oh, that's clever.
I didn't notice that. Yeah, yeah, that's a really funny. Nice little joke uh-huh. they slipped in there.
Yeah, but it's fun. But yeah, I'm with Jordan, and I'm buying it a la carte off of Amazon, and it'll just keep getting my $2 every week as long as it keeps impressing me.
I think it's better than Walking Dead.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Especially last season, Walking Dead.
Because if they keep up the momentum too, it'll be really cool.
And Preacher's been around for longer. It has all these mini stories.
The 90s. Yeah, it was way before Walking Dead. I think it was. So was it early 90s?
Might have more to pull. They have more to kind of pull from and tweak. They also can only do. Obviously, they can't match it up too much exactly. Yes, it's not NBC or whatever, yeah. But it's not HBO.
But the level of gore you can get away with on TV is awesome because everyone can be HBO with gore now.
True. Yeah. People don't care about violence. I think the only thing they have to concern themselves about is religious content and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because the comics were deliberately abrasive as far as that goes, and I'm not sure how far that, because they haven't specified based on the plot or the pilot where they're going to, if they're going to be as extreme and the man versus God sort of deal as the comics. I hope they are, because I like that.
Yeah, and even the origin story of the being, I guess we could call it, that possesses them, you don't know yet, which is cool from the comics. It's important to why the conflict is going on.
And then the main actor, since his last show has been canceled, he's on this one. Permanently.
What is his last show?
His last show was Agent Carter. He was Tony Stark. Or not Tony Stark. He was Daddy Stark.
Yeah.
He was Howard Stark in Agent Carter. So.
No, he does good. I like everybody in it. I like the vampire. I like the girl with her moonshine bazooka. That's pretty epic.
That's pretty good. And we'll wrap up with this last one. So Supergirl, we talked about previously, it's been moved over to CW. Or CW officially picked up. Well, in December, they are doing a super crossover with Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow.
Not was it Agent Carter, alas.
That's a different universe.
I know.
Actually, I was thinking it would be more fun if they also brought in their other DC ones, the Vertigo comics, and brought in... Well, Lucifer would be a fox, but they could bring in iZombie. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I still haven't seen iZombie, and that is the show.
Oh.
That I know. I would actually. I'm interested. I was put off initially by the idea of how are you going to make an interesting, long-lasting television series about zombies? And it's been getting a lot of good reception, enough to make me curious about it.
Yeah.
Jordan, did you know Lucifer's the Sandman Lucifer?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But I still am not interested, because if Gaiman's not writing it, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, we'll just wrap up with famous last words. Anybody got anything?
Say, bring back my Fassbender.
Yeah, Suicide Squad better be good.
Doom!
Sticking with this. Go, ninja, go.